When I went back to Yorkshire, I received no explanation for my banishment. Judith greeted me with a constrained smile. The greyness of daylight had crept under her skin, collected in shadows under her eyes. Miss Winter, too, was pale-faced. I didn't know whether it was the memory of recent pain that put the dark shadows into her eyes, or something else.
"I propose a more flexible timetable for our meetings," she said, when she was settled in her circle of light.
"Of course." And so we agreed that instead of presenting myself at 9 every morning, I would wait instead for a tap at my door. At first the tap came always between 9 and 10. Then it drifted to later. After the doctor altered her dosage, she took to asking for me early in the mornings, but our meetings were shorter. Then we fell into a habit of meeting twice or three times a day, at random times. Sometimes she called me when she felt well, and spoke at length and in detail. At other times she called me when she was in pain. Then it was not so much the company she wanted, as the anaesthetic qualities of the storytelling itself. The end of my 9 o'clocks was another anchor in time gone. I listened to her story, I wrote the story, when I slept I dreamed the story, and when I was awake it was the story that formed the constant backdrop of my thoughts. It was like living entirely inside a book. Very little pierced the cloak the story had cast over me. The cat, I remember. He took note of my unusual hours, came scratching at my door for a bit of fuss at random hours of the day and night, finished up bits of egg or fish from my plate. He liked to sit on my piles of paper watching me write. For hours I could sit scratching at my pages, wandering in the dark labyrinth of Miss Winter's story. But no matter how far I forgot myself, I never quite lost my sense of being watched over. And when I got particularly lost, it was the gaze of the cat that seemed to reach into my muddle and light my way back to my room, my notes, my pencils, and my pencil sharpener. He even slept with me on my bed some nights, and I took to leaving my curtains open, so that if he woke, he could sit on my windowsill seeing things move in the dark that were invisible to the human eye. And that is all. Apart from these things, there was nothing else. Only the eternal twilight and the story. Isabel had gone. Hester had gone. Charlie had gone. Now Miss Winter told me of further losses.